All right, you're tuned into KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3. My name is Taylor, and I am your host right now, and we have a very special guest in the studio at this moment. We have Eric Walters from Silver Torches.
Hello.
Say that again.
Hello.
All right, there we go. Now we're going. How are you doing today?
I'm great. I am excellent.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We can interview you, but I think first you should play us a song. That'd be a good intro to everything.
Okay. I'll play a song called New Year from the new record that's put out called Heatherfield.
All right.
And go something like this. Last call had come and gone. We're the last ones at the party. When the band strikes up a song, oh, the way she moves her body, I'm head over heels. She's the only thing that's real. I forget to ask her name. Forget to tie the tether. She embarks at the refrain. So I stumble chasing after.
We have Eric Walters from Silver Torches. Wow, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
That was so, and your voice went so high, too.
I haven't warmed up yet. It's still like morning for me, so that was...
I feel, yeah.
It was a little tough.
you played the Bartlett last night, right?
Yeah, we did. We played there with Hey Marseille last night. I apologize for me tuning while I'm talking. Hope that doesn't bother you. We played there last night with Hey Marseille, and we were actually there a couple weeks ago. We headlined and had Young in the City with us. Young in the City's the new project from Noah Gunderson, a Seattle musician who's fantastic, a good friend of mine. We love the Bartlett. It's one of my favorite venues.
Yeah, you sold out there a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Did you sell out again last night?
It sold out last night, but yeah, that was all Hey Marseille. it was fun. It's such a cool room, and everybody there is just the best. And yeah, it's a great spot.
And you, do you like to play with Noah Gunderson? I feel like you've played with him a lot.
Yeah, we are, you know, Noah and I are good buddies, and we have played a lot together. He's been super supportive of me and my music, and we enjoy it. We just like to share bills. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you're actually from Spokane, mm-hmm. as some of our listeners may know. I don't know if you get that asked this a lot, but, you know, what's it like always coming back here? And especially, like, as you've grown in popularity and this has become kind of a full-time job for you, what's it like coming back and playing at your hometown and, like, playing a sold-out show? How does that feel?
Well, it's, we had no idea. I mean, I didn't think that we were going to have a turnout for us at all. I was really surprised about last week or the other week. So we just put out a record on the first, and it was cool because, like, a lot of the people in the crowd had already heard the record and they knew the songs, and I was really surprised by that. But I don't know. Spokane's definitely home for me in a lot of ways, even though I haven't lived here for about 4 years. But I grew up here, and every time I come back, it's like one of those things where it just feels like it feels familiar, it feels comfortable, but it's always changing. I love to see, like, oh man, this is new, and but at the same time, it still feels like the city that you know, it's like I never left. It feels like the city I always remember, you know.
Yeah. Is there something that you always miss, or is there something you don't miss?
There are a lot of things I don't miss, and there are a lot of things I do miss. I definitely miss my friends here, and just there's a certain comfort about living here. I miss my old house. I miss, you know, just kind of the feeling of being here. But I think a lot of that is nostalgia just creeping up on me, and you know. It's the things that I don't miss are, you know, kind of irrelevant. It's just like one of those things, like, you know, you always, you know, I feel like everybody should leave their hometown at one point, and, you know, for whatever reason, but just to come back is always a treat. And, you know, I don't know, it'll always feel like home to me. So,
yeah. 'Cause your original band, The Globes, mm-hmm. started here, and I actually read that the album you came out with before this, The Living Fact,
mm-hmm.
I read that you wrote that while you were in kind of limbo between Spokane and Seattle.
Yeah, so I made that record while I was living in Spokane. I made it in Seattle, but I wrote all of it in Spokane. And a lot of those songs were Globe songs, or songs that I brought to the Globes that never came to fruition because we dissolved. So it was kind of... For me, that record was a way to prove to myself that I could make something on my own. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of those, it's like, to me, that record is just me figuring things out. There's a lot about it that I'm not super proud of, but there's a lot, I mean, I'm proud of it in the sense that I did it and I made it. And, you know, it was a really cool experience to be in Seattle, and I went up to this little studio with Steve Aguilar, who engineered and produced it, and who did this most current record as well. And I'd go up after work and work really late into the night and just like experiment and try things, and it was a blast to make, and I learned a lot making it, and just it gave me the confidence to play on my own, and playing in the Globes, like, it was a very collaborative thing, and I played in that band for years. I mean, we started that band when I was in junior high, and we dissolved in 2010, so it was 8 or 9, maybe almost 10 years we were in that band, and it was always, I always was making music with others, and seeking approval from others. And when we broke up, it was really scary making music on my own because I didn't have other people telling me, oh, that's good, oh, that's not good. But at the same time, it was really liberating because I could do whatever I wanted. And yeah.
Yeah. So this new album that you just came out with is sort of a keeps going with that process of you wrote all of them, right?
Yeah, I wrote all those songs for the new record. It's called Heatherfield, and it's actually called Heatherfield because it's named after the apartment building that I live in currently. I wrote all those songs there. And this record, to me, Heatherfield feels like what I've kind of meant. It's the type of music that I feel like I've really wanted to make for a long time. And I my goal as a musician and as a songwriter is to constantly learn new things and not pigeonhole myself into one genre or one, type of music. And, the songs on this record, really came naturally to me. I wrote them fairly quickly and, it was just a joy to make. And, I just really hope that people enjoy it. And yeah.
Well, hey, do you want to play us a song from it?
Sure. I'm actually going to play, a song that I did for that record, but ended up not putting it on the record. Actually, speaking of Noah Gunderson, I did this song with Noah on Orcas Island, this past summer. The song's called Heaven. And it's kind of about, I wrote it as like a tongue in cheek thing, like somebody who's died and who keeps getting rejected from the afterlife and being thrown back into the world. And, I'll just sing it and see what you get out of it, I guess.
All right. Silver Torches here on KYRS. Take it away.
Heaven won't take me back. I know I'm a martyr and I overreact, but I waited in line with the rest of the world. When it came to my time, wasn't brave enough for the thrill. So they turned me on my heels and pushed, and I fell back to Eden and never felt worse. If life was a game, I'd been playing it wrong. Burned all of my bridges, like I knew all along I would fail. Heaven won't take me back. Never a question, it's a matter of fact. When I'm holding your hand at the rocky shore, the salt on our skin kissed by the breath of the oar, there's nothing in the world I wanted more than to be here. Heaven won't take me back. Heaven won't take me back.
All right, Silver Torches, K KYRS. That was another beautiful song.
Thank you.
Your songs are giving me the feels right now. You seem to have so much, there's depth or emotion or feelings in all your songs.
Thank
it
you.
Seems like, I want to know what the process is for writing your songs. I mean, I know that's a big question, but...
I'm going to tune again. I'm sorry.
Okay.
The process, you know, it's... I don't know if I have one, because these songs, that song I wrote that song in about 5 minutes, literally one day. Like, it was very different from the way it sounds. So the reason it didn't end up on the record was because it was this whole, like, Neil Young Americana style song, and it was like, you know, just kind of like strummy farmer chords, and I wasn't super content with that. And I, like, for a whole year, I was like, man, I really like this song, but I don't know what to do with it. And then finally, like, I played this Christmas show, actually, and did this Joni Mitchell song, and I rearranged it in an alternate tuning. And I was like, I really like this. And then I applied that to the arrangement for this, and it ended up working and ended up being what I wanted it to be. But it took a whole year for me to figure that out. But a lot of songs come really quickly, and, you know, I don't like to force stuff. I like to write the music and the lyrics together. I'm a big melody guy usually, but I don't know, for this record, it was more like, I just didn't really have to, I mean, I don't mean this in like a, oh, I didn't have to try very hard, but like, the songs just came out in a weird way. Like, they just happened. And, you know, I went through a lot of different arrangements, and, you know, I fine tuned a lot, but like the core of the songs, like, kind of just came quickly. I think the best stuff for me usually is the stuff you don't have to think too hard about, and once you start overthinking things, it gets messy, and it's like the first record I made was me overthinking a lot, and I think as a result of that, this Heatherfield was I tried not to do that at all. I tried to just have everything come naturally, and I really enjoy working that way, and it's fun because I play in this other project called Soft Sleep that's more it's more like experimental rock music, and we go in completely cold into the studio, and I won't have a clue what we're doing. Tony Ruland, he's like the brainchild behind that project, he'll come in with a riff or a structure of something, and we'll just completely compose it in the studio, like lyrics and everything, and that's been really fun. So I kind of want to continue doing that, just kind of like going in cold and just seeing what happens, and just trying to have a high output, you know.
So how often do you just have musical inspiration come to you and you sit down and have that 5 minute song, and how often do you just have to like sit down for hours and hours and hash things out? Like, what's the
it completely, I mean, I play music all the time, but it just comes. It comes in waves, and at certain points of, you know, I'll feel super creative and things will just happen, and other times I'll pick up a guitar and or you know, whatever, and nothing's coming out, and to me that's either the sign to put it down and do something else, or to learn a cover song, or, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I'll have an idea, and I'll know it's like, this is so close to being what I want it to be, and I'll spend hours and hours and hours on it. And most of the time when that happens, I just end up getting frustrated and feeling like I've wasted 4 hours, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't like that feeling very much. So I'm trying to train myself to not do that, and to just, when it's not coming, just step away and be patient, you know?
Yeah. And so you wrote this whole new album, Heatherfield, in the apartment building,
mm-hmm.
Heatherfield, and you named the album that, and I know you wrote all your songs in there, but I want to know more about this. Was there some sort of, do you have an emotional connection to this apartment? Is it like lonely, more lonely than other apartments?
No, or? It's funny. None of the songs are about living in that apartment at all. A lot of the songs are, some of the songs are actually about Spokane and my time here before I moved back. Like State Route 27, the last song, is another song that I wrote very quickly as the last song that I wrote for the record. And that one was just, I don't know, I just wanted to, I just had this, it's just about being stuck and feeling, you know, kind of hopeless. And, but also it's about, you know, nostalgia, and it's about, you know, being in your hometown and like kind of growing old there. And, I don't know, I feel like a lot of my songs deal with that. My girlfriend was telling me, she's like, you need to start writing about new stuff because you're stuck. So maybe I'll start writing about new stuff. But I don't know. I'm a nostalgic guy, so I like to think about that type of subject matter, just like, you know, your home and what home means. And
yeah, well, I feel like that's why so many people relate to your music. It has that sort of nostalgic melancholy that everyone can kind of get on board with.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool.
I mean, that's just my perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, it's one of those things, like, you know, as a writing songs, it's a very personal thing. And mm-hmm. If somebody listens to something I write and they get something out of it, I mean, that's amazing. Like, that's all I can ask for. So,
well, you think it's time for another song?
Yeah.
We've been talking a lot here.
Yeah, I'll play one more. This one is called Dearborn, and it's about, it's kind of about this feeling of, excuse me. It's about living in Seattle. I was living with the Globes, and just kind of telling the story about being drunk and just at a party and just what's going through my head at the time and just having anxiety. And one of my friends was like, it's this, he's like, I really love the song. It's so much happens, but also nothing happens. So, yeah, this one's called Dearborn.
We're a plate on the deck, sunburned on our necks, smoking straight in the glow of the porch light. I've been toying around with a quick ride into town, thinking I'd find her with the girls at the Redwood or the Twilight. But I'm warm and I'm round and content on sipping down this watery brown with a blood cherry sinking. Lost my keys in the creases and folds of the couch, and I don't feel much like driving or leaving anyhow. There's a fire tonight nearby that burns so bright. Seem like days those sirens were singing. Satisfied. The farewell that had gone when I passed out cold and long. In my shoes and my goodwill jacket. And it's late enough for the robin's hungry song. And the humming tides of traffic. Around noon I awake to the mailman's weary groan. My body's sore and my will is sinking. My shift starts soon but my mind is numb like stone. Still choking back whatever I'd been drinking.
All right, that was Dearborn by Eric Walters of Silver Torches here on KYRS. Thank you so much for playing all those songs.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we've been talking about, you know, about feelings and serious things mm-hmm. and nostalgia, but I want to know what your musical guilty pleasure is. You know, I want to know that what you listen to that you don't want people to listen to.
Oh, I don't want people to listen to?
I mean, that you don't want people to know that you listen to.
Oh, man, I love pop music. I do. I love pop. I love, like, you know, God, there's so much. There's so much. I have so many guilty pleasures. It's ridiculous. Like, anything from, like, the 90s, any, like, God, Third Eye Blind's not really a guilty pleasure. I'll defend that band. I don't know. I like top 40 stuff. I like it all, man. I'm not ashamed of anything. If it's a good song, I think Teenage Dream by Katy Perry is an amazing song. And, you know, a lot of people will probably think, oh, you're crazy. But there was this really cool article that completely dissected that song. I think Owen Pallett wrote it, like from a theory standpoint. And it's fascinating because that song is just incredible. Like the way it's structured and the way it moves and the melody and oh my gosh. So yeah, I don't know. I grew up listening to a lot of like Michael Bolton and like Amy Grant and Christopher Cross. And, you know, my dad's a big influence on me musically, but, you know, he has great taste in music, but, you know, a lot of it as your parents' music taste is, you know, very questionable. But, you know, listening to that stuff, like, you know, it's so cheesy, but I love it. I love a good cheese.
Is there any of that that you still draw inspiration from?
Probably. I think that I really believe that as a, you know, there's a golden period in your life. I think like when between like the ages of 13 and 21, at least for me, that was like when I was really, my mind was really opening up to music. Cause I remember I listened to Radiohead for the first time. I was like, what is this crap? I hated it. And then I listened to Amnesiac, of all albums that they did. And I was like, oh my God, this is the coolest. But yeah, that time, like those formative years, you know, like junior high through high school. And then in my early 20s, was like, the bands I was listening to in that time, I still like really, really love. And it's harder and harder for me to find new music that I like. And I try a lot, but I also feel like because I've been playing music for so long and it's like one of those things, you just kind of get jaded after a while and you get, you know, I'm trying to open my mind and not be so like, oh, I don't like this. And I'm trying not to be so dismissive of new music because a lot of the times I'll listen to something and, you know, be like, oh, whatever. And then I'll come back to it and it'll just blow my mind, you know? So I feel like I answered like three questions in one question.
Yeah, you answered all the questions I was going to ask.
Oh, really?
I was looking at it
and anticipating. Yeah. I don't know. Music's a great thing and it's a cure-all. It's also, it's like nothing else. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I like it all.
So you're playing you're going to Missoula.
Yeah, we're
probably like right after this, huh?
Yeah, we're playing in Missoula tonight and then Billings tomorrow night and then heading home, doing two more shows with A. Marseille. And yeah, looking forward to it.
Wow, and you're, where's it, the top hat?
Top hat, yeah. Top hat tonight.
In Missoula. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for coming back to Spokane after you were just here, and thank you so much for doing this interview.
Thank you.
And for playing those tunes for us. I want to end with something off your album, and which one would you recommend? I don't know which ones are clean, so.
Oh, they're all clean. They're all clean. I don't swear in any of those songs.
Is there one you want to play?
How about you play Woman in Rust? I think that's the first track on the record, and I like that song.
Okay. Well, once again, thank you for being here. This was Eric Walters from Silver Torches on KYRS.
Thank you.
All right, and here is Woman in Rust.
You locked me out on the street. I was rueful and anxious. Went stumbling along with a buck in my palm to tip some bartender thankless. Mumbling drunk through a sea of words, I was searching for purpose. The night was alive and young, but the air still burned like a furnace. Oh,